Greg Glover from Spokane, Washington, to preach the Word of God. Amen. God bless you, Brother Greg.
Thank you, Dad. Love you. Acts 7, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. I'm going to start in the apostolic version of the sons of Jacob. I think it does make a difference when you're an anointed man of God who's preaching God's word. Stephen doesn't know this is his last, maybe his first and last message, but there's an anointing on him. So you got to catch how he speaks here. Because you can speak about history according to history, but there's just something about the way you frame words when you're anointed of God. That this powerful man of God speaking the word of God, Acts 7 and verse number 8. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac, circumcised him the eighth day. Isaac begat Jacob. And then Jacob set it off. Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Who is it that sells Joseph into bondage? And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Verse 13, and at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren. Step one, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Both of those movements are powerful. Skip back in your Bible to Genesis 45. I'll read to you from Psalm 81, verse number 5. It says, this he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. And that's the one time in all of Scripture where that Joseph is used. That's who went out over Egypt after it's all said and done in the victory dance celebration part of it. It's Joseph that's got an extra H to his name. That's the of God's name. That's what will make an Abram an Abraham. Just that. Just that will make a Sarai a Sarah. Joseph didn't even know how powerful he was. When he walked out over Egypt, went with him. You can be seated. I'm just going to go ahead and start preaching. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Thank you, Brother Mendenhall. What a powerful statement to advertise our future. There it is. There's the future. Praise God. Adam, where art thou? Adam breaks into a discussion with God and he says, well, I hid myself because I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked. And the Lord says, who told you you were naked? Who told you that, Adam? Nobody did. God didn't tell him. The devil didn't tell him. He thinks that, and he believes that, and that's his new reality. And so where he is literally connected to who told you who you are. And where he is lost in rationalization. Where are you, Adam? He doesn't answer the question. He gives the reasons why he is where he is. I'm afraid. I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? I wonder how many things we believe about ourselves. That if we just went bottom line on those things, we would have no Bible to back up what we think about ourselves. And what we think about ourselves is directly connected to where are you? Where are you? You won't be radical if you think that you're inadequate. And if you think you're inadequate, the Bible didn't tell you that. And so we need to start the message off by saying, who told you what you believe about yourself? What lies are you believing is truth that God's got to challenge and say, you've got to get the connection between where you are and what you believe. And if God did not tell you you're naked, you've got no right believing that's a bad thing. Who told you you were naked, Adam? Who told you you've got no power? Who told you you couldn't pray that prayer? Who told you it was impossible? Where are you? It's going to be directly related to the lies that you're believing about yourself. And it's a reality. It's a shake-up. It's a wake-up call when we recognize I'm the one that told myself. Nobody, no devil had to tell me. No adversary, Eve, didn't have to tell me. I told myself. I thought it. And it's just as clear as words being spoken when I think something about myself as being true. Without challenging it. With why do I believe this? There's nothing wrong at all with asking those questions about your doctrine. Because it should be bulletproof. And so you'll just get revelation by asking those questions. But why you're afraid to pray for somebody on the street? That's a question you should be asking and pushing for an answer. Why isn't there a massive revival in the peninsula? Why aren't we walking on water, so to speak, in the supernatural? Why aren't our young people prophesying? Why aren't our old men dreaming dreams? Why aren't people seeing more visions around here? And when we start asking, where are you? And we start recognizing, I'm where I am because I've not literally based my position off of God's word. Oh, you're in trouble when people can tell you who you are. And it limit what you believe can happen in your life. There's nobody, I don't believe nobody more powerful than this man Joseph. Can you imagine that after he's already saved the world via revelation? And he's brought his brothers through some testing and some moments together where he's pulling out of them any kind of sin and remaining darkness that would hinder what God wants to do through the entire family. And they're going through a process together where Joseph has to go run and weep and comes back. His brothers don't know he's Joseph. He knows who they are. And they're just going through this healing moment. And then the scripture said in chapter 45:1 that he could not stand it any longer. He could not hold back this moment any longer. And the moment was, I'm coming out of the closet with who I really am. Now you see, that gets me jacked up to even think about that. Because if you've been holding back up till now, if you've been holding back your real power, the fullness of who you are, what are we getting ready to see? I can't hide who I am any longer, and I've got to break out, and I've got to tell my brother. Can you imagine what the world is getting ready to see with somebody who says no more? I don't care about the consequences. I don't care about what's getting ready to happen, receive me or not. I've got to be me. And there's some of you that have been believing a lie for so long that you're used to not really being you. And if you are a child of God or a son of God, a daughter of God, it's impossible for you to be bound. Unless you believe that's your lot in life. It's impossible for you not to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, speak with new tongues. It's impossible for you not to be victorious and not to be more than a conqueror. It's impossible for you to not walk in an atmosphere of love and grace and truth and revelation. And so maybe it's time that you said, I'm tired of showing bits and pieces of who I am. It's time for all of me to step out and say, I am Joseph. That's somebody who said, you've not seen anything yet. Let me tell you right now, if you're one of those boys that gets envious over dreams, you probably want to miss what's getting ready to happen. If you're one of those guys that just doesn't think there's enough glory to go around, let me tell you exactly who you are. You're a patriarch who doesn't know it. Jacob gave birth to 12 patriarchs. That's only used of Abraham and David other than this moment right here. Four times in the New Testament, we're talking about some awesome company. Abraham, the patriarch, paid tithes to Melchizedek. David, the patriarch, Acts 2. You're talking about amazing men of God. And they're moved with envy in their patriarchs. That means that I'm a literal tribe by myself. That means I've got authority over a group of people that bears my name. That means that we are now a nation. And we are to start functioning as a nation. But you can't function as a nation with one person in charge. You can't function as a nation if it's only Jacob who builds altars when you go to Bethel. That worked then, and it can't just be one person blessing unless you're Isaac. And it can't just be one person who's walking before God unless you're Abraham. But if you're going to take over the world and claim your promised land, you've got to have everybody. 12 patriarchs. Joseph's not greater than these boys are. The crazy thing about Joseph is he believes he is a patriarch. That's the only difference between him and his brothers. He was born believing. I'm born to walk blessed. Oh, you got to watch out for those guys because they can rub you up wrong because it kind of seems like arrogance when you're used to being intimidated. But there's no difference between you and them, apostolic view. 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs were the ones that were moved with envy. You've got your own house you're building. You've got thousands and thousands, 60,000. Some of them had the numbers that they have in their own families are getting ready to be massive. You want to talk about a people with their own flag and their own headship and their own authority. All this. But I don't feel it yet. I don't feel it yet because I'm serving my father's sheep. That's where you run into a problem. Unless you're David. What does Eliab say? Eliab says, with who did you leave those little few sheep in the wilderness? Whose sheep are those? Those aren't David's. Those are Jesse's. That's his view of his father's stuff. He's got a minute view of his father's favor. So he's got to go chase after somebody who looks good. Those few sheep you got in the wilderness. I'm embarrassed to think about that, David. But if you're somebody like David, you don't even let one of those sheep go. Because you know this isn't what I'm doing here. I'm not just serving a few sheep. I'm literally prophesying my own future. God isn't going to bless somebody that can't be faithful over one prayer. If you can't be faithful over one miracle, over one sermon, over one revelation, over one friend who's interested in a Bible study, and you've got to push them off to somebody else, there's no revival coming in your future. You've got to look at those few sheep in the wilderness as being, that's my father's sheep. That's something I value right there. And if you value little things, my friend, you're never going to feel small. You'll never feel small if you're valuing little things. My father's sheep. That's why the other boys, they don't got the robe that Joseph's got. So you can halfway understand what's going on there, but you really can't halfway understand it. Seeing how that these boys here are so blessed. They've got a mother. Joseph doesn't even have a mother. all the stuff they've got, Joseph doesn't have. But what Joseph does have is a spiritual perception of who he is and really who he is going to be. And it comes in flashes, guarantee it. And he doesn't get all the picture at once. And that's why he just got these dreams without an interpretation. Crazy enough, these dreams are about his brothers. That's what Genesis 42 says. He remembered the dreams he dreamed of them. It's not even about Joseph. It's about his brother's prosperity. But they are moved with what they're already feeling, to the point where they jump on an interpretation. What, you think you're going to rule over us? Joseph doesn't say anything. That's what they said. And they're speaking out of what they feel. And missing the picture that all the while that both dreams are about them. These are the dreams Joseph dreamed about his brothers. That's all it was. It wasn't something where Joseph was showing off. He was prophesying their future. But if you've already got low self-esteem, you can't hear that. What, you think you're going to rule over us? You're a patriarch, man of God. You're a patriarch, man of God. You're a patriarch, man of God. If you could just see who you are. So sell Joseph. What's that do to your identity? It doesn't help it. I know that for a fact. Get bought. Go to work for somebody who owns you as a slave. And the Lord is with you. And that's all you need if you're Joseph. That's not the best starting position. Unless you're on the Kenai Peninsula and that's where you are. All this talk about we're the head and not the tail, really? Is that what it really looks like? All the discouragement, the darkness. If we're really honest, would we say, yeah, we're the head and not the tail? We come to kick tail, take names. Or would we feel like, how in the world does this match? I'm a child of God and I'm sick. I'm a child of God and I'm working for somebody. I'm a child of God and I feel bound. I'm a child of God and I'm serving somebody else's house. If you're called to be a patriarch and everything you do is blessing somebody else's house, after a while, don't you start saying, all right, God, where's it at? Is it coming to Sterling? Because every time we have a revival service, somebody else's church gets blessed. Or we have a meeting in prayer, somebody else gets the prophecy. And if you're Joseph right here, you're not intimidated at all. Because the scripture said the Lord's with him and makes him prosperous. He is prosperous. And just to skip down to the good part here, Joseph tells somebody who's trying to get him to use his natural gifting, which is his good looks, as opposed to the Lord being with me is the only way I'm prosperous. The woman, Potiphar's wife, is trying to get Joseph to use natural gifting, good looks. I was born with this. That's not your calling and that's not your gifting. But if you need the Lord for what you're doing and whatever you do, he makes prosper. That kind of tells me you can do it wrong and it's still going to work. Because that's how big our God is when we don't put him in a box and don't say this only works in Canaan. We're in trouble if this only works in church. This was meant to work in Egypt. This was meant to work at the butcher's house. This was meant to work in the worst places on the planet. And our God is so powerful, he can make something we do wrong go right. That's the God I serve. Don't worry about saying the right words when you pray. If you got faith, it's going to work. Don't worry about saying everything exactly right. I named this, claimed this. If you've got faith, my friend, boom, you say the wrong thing, God will make it work. That's the kind of God we serve, my friend. A God of favor, favor, favor. But he tells her, he says, there is none greater in this house than I. Swallow that. None. I'm talking about the master too, who's a part of this house. None. Where's your greatness come from? The other master. That's what he says. He says, there's none greater in this house than I. Now that's a beautiful thing right there. It's somebody who absolutely knows. Yeah. Technically, I'm a slave. But I'm greater than anybody in this house, and that includes the head honcho Potiphar. There's nobody greater than me. Nobody. Can you imagine saying that about yourself and you're an employee? What makes greatness? They pay you a paycheck? Or you pray for them? What makes greatness? There's nothing wrong at all with having that revelation. We had a place we were leasing the Lincoln Center in Spokane, Washington. Our lease came up, and the ownership's wanting to jack up the price. And I said, let me tell you something right now. This place would not be blessed if we weren't in it. Prices staying the same. This place would not be blessed if we weren't in it. And that's a shock and awe moment. I'm sure I turned a little bit red or whatever. But let me tell you, when I said that, I felt the full force of God's government behind me. And I think they felt it too, because the price stayed the same. And there's nothing wrong with recognizing that. You might give me a paycheck, but there's nobody greater in this house than a child of God. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what the social status is. I got power you've never even seen before. That makes me greater because the Lord is with me. That's why. Good night. Is there somebody better on the job than you to lay hands on the problem, to declare an atmosphere shift, to just get rid of gossiping by one word? Is there somebody better than you, more qualified to step into a storm and speak peace because of who you are and recognize I don't even need to wake God up for this one? The Lord says, you little faith people, why are you waking me up for stuff you can already do? Why are you waking me up for stuff you can already speak to? Where's your faith at, boys? You know how this is done. You speak to it. There's something about understanding the force and the volume and the glory that's inside of you, because you start to get the revelation. Joseph didn't believe in himself because of a coat. He lost his coat a long time ago. He don't believe in himself because dad just there always showing him attention. He believes in who he is because of the glorious Lord that 8 times in this chapter alone is with him. Is there something you can't do with the creator of the world? How big is your God? How big is your God? Can you be the only one in a country and feel like you're in control? Can you be the only one in a foreign nation where you don't know the language, but you know how to speak this language? And there's something about just knowing the house of Potiphar is only blessed because I'm in it. That's what the Bible said. There's nothing wrong at all with saying that. You want to know why Tesoro hasn't gone over, Brother Mendenhall? Under? Norm Heiler, same thing, because we're there. Because we're there. There's nothing at all wrong with knowing. You know, I'm undefeated in Sacred Heart Hospital. Literally undefeated. I have never walked into that children's wing of the hospital and there not been an unbelievable miracle. I'm talking little babies literally on life support. Boom, God heals them. I'm undefeated in that hospital. If you give me a call and say, I need you to come pray for me, you think I'm walking in there like I'm not undefeated? That doesn't give God glory. I don't even need a sport coat for this one. I feel undefeated when I walk in there. That's what we need to feel, is the victories. We need to feel that my God's the God of life and death. We need to feel what the greatest and the most glorious thing is. It's an audience with the King of Kings. We heard the news about Sister Ross, and all I could think all day long is I could not imagine being a weekend away from glory. I was thinking about that off and on today, just thinking I could not imagine if Thursday night you couldn't make this day go fast enough. Friday night I'm one day away from glory. Can you imagine that? That's what we've been living for. That's what we have been living for. One moment with Him in glory. God and Joseph. He's prosperous. You've got to see He is. He was made a prosperous man. So now that means that everywhere I am is prosperous. Because I'm there. Because I'm there. Every one of you born again of water and the Spirit, when you're there, you are in control of the atmosphere. Oh yeah, it don't matter if you feel like it or not. Like you can feel sick and weak, all that. It doesn't matter. That don't change what the truth is. And so quit lying to yourself. Don't lie to yourself and get yourself out of position. You got to recognize moments like this are powerful only when you recognize I'm here because God sent me here. God sent me here. That's what's getting ready to click in this man's head. He's prosperous. And then it says in verse 3 that everything in his hand, everything he did, God made it prosper. And then it said that Potiphar made him overseer of his house. And he put all that he had into his hand. Two different things. So now he's overseer of the house. So everything under him is going to what? It's going to prosper. So the house is blessed, H-1288 in the Hebrew. But because Potiphar puts something else in his hands, and that's everything in the house is the people, the government, everything in the house is the stuff and the provision. And the scripture says for that, because it's Joseph's hand, the Lord speaks a blessing on the field and on all the stuff in the house. It's a different word. It's H-1293 in the Hebrew. And it's literally, it's something you speak, a benediction. And there's something about understanding that when he can touch it, you know it's going to be blessed. But we can only touch so much. And there's a greater realm of faith when you can literally impart who you are to mass people. I'm thinking like, hey, if you're a faith healer, don't heal, impart faith. Leave yourself behind, homie, because we don't need to fly you up every week for all the sick people coming in the church. But if we got us some of that and you can impart who you were to the people, now that'd be something. I would say that's the next level for the apostolic movement. It's not if you touch me, I'm good. It's if you speak over me, I'm good. And I receive who you are by you speaking over me. But it takes someone like Joseph who's pretty well off in the faith department. And so God's got to speak that, impart it, because it's coming from his hand. I believe that's exactly what happened with Billy Cole. You can't touch everyone, but if you're speaking it, it's just as if, boom, boom, boom. The hand is spread by the mouth. And so here's this guy who could look a woman in the face and literally tell her, there's nobody in this house greater than me. And he knows why. And it's because the Lord, who he's refusing to sin, a great sin. If you're great, you can only do things great. And if you sin, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's who you are. Great, great people of faith go down great when they go down. Big old mistakes. Big old fury and fire. But if you're great, everything you do is going to be great. Because in the kingdom, it's the being that produces the doing. we don't do out of something other than what we are. And when you are great, everything you do will be great. If you're successful, prosperous, everything your hand does, God will make it prosper and be successful. But the important thing is a prisoner who knows I'm the greatest in this house. And the temptation that was there day by day is to work out of who he is naturally. Day by day, she would not quit on you. Come with me. Be with me. And it's this face, this well-favored, beautiful, well-favored face that Joseph has. That's the wrong favor. The temptation that you'll face daily is always going to be to work out of the wrong favor. People looking for the wrong favor. And after a little while, it can be easier to do something out of the flesh. But if you can do it without God, you were born with it. If you can do it without God, it's not favor. If you can do it without the help of the Holy Ghost, that's not your ministry. But if you absolutely rely on God, then that's in the favor category. And only if the Lord is with me will it work. But I guarantee when that is you, it does not bring glory to God to act like it isn't there. That doesn't help anybody out. By making yourself little because you're surrounded by small people. A poverty mentality is what these boys have. And that is, there's only enough of God to go around for one of us. For one of us. There's only enough of God for one of us. If you're dreaming, we're not. So if you've got an unbelievable church, Brother Mendenhall, we can't have one. So how about I make you feel overconfident and cocky every time you want to tell me something about what God's doing in Soldotna? Because that'll make me feel better because I'm so little. And that's what envy does. It never makes you go after God. It makes you go after what people have. And it's not because you want that beautiful coat. I just don't want you to have that beautiful coat. And to get that coat off of Joseph, you've got to flay him.
Literally.
When they stripped him, it was the word for flaying. Because you don't separate somebody like Joseph from favor and not take chunks of who he is in the flesh, because he is favor. And so if you're going to take this coat of favor, you're going to be cutting off some skin, because you don't separate this coat from me. I don't take this off. I sleep in it. I am it. And so that means the next coat you put on me is going to be a coat of many colors too. And you take that one, the next one you put on me is going to be the exact same thing. Because I'll tell you where I got this. I got this from glory. And the amazing thing is that this coat of many colors, when you read about what the atmosphere looks like in Ezekiel 1, the glory of God, the radiating all the colors, And then you start to connect the Hebrew words there. Well, I believe this coat of many colors wasn't pretty. I believe it was what Jacob saw over his boy. Because Joseph's a walking prophecy. God's going to add another son. God's going to add another son. That means even after Rachel's dead, God's going to keep on adding sons. So Joseph's going to keep on giving Rachel babies. Even if they're Joseph's. Rachel's still going to keep on getting babies. She gets two more after she's dead. And all of a sudden, she's the firstborn, secondborn mom. Somehow or another, she climbed the ladder miraculously, because Joseph, if he's around, something's getting added. But I believe that this coat of many colors is a reflection of what he saw in the atmosphere, glory. And so I'm just going to go ahead and make it down here on earth what I saw in heaven. And I'm going to clothe my kid in this day number one. I'm going to clothe my boy in this. And you know what? If you didn't do it for the other boys, you wish you could have, but that doesn't mean you don't for the first. Hey, we didn't used to do that for teenagers. That don't mean you don't do it now. Don't mean you're right to not do it. We don't usually do that for the don't mean you don't start now. And just go ahead and start now. If you missed it, all the other boys, and you didn't see who they were in the kingdom, you need to start somewhere. And that's never going to be a popular decision. But if you're a man of God, you don't care about what the babies are saying. If you're a man of God, my friend, and you start highlighting people in the church, does that sound like a good time? No way, because we have feelings on our sleeves, like for you to choose them is to reject me. And that's not the case. And so we can't highlight Mitch because his brother isn't getting highlighted. And so I've got to take what he is, and I've got to dilute it enough to where I can say, Mitch is a good guy. And take all the supernatural out of who he is. Just to make everybody else who wasn't named on the spot comfortable with not stepping out and being called out. And so if you're going to make a coat for one, everybody's going to be mad. But I don't ever see anything that we read into the story given us by heaven saying that you shouldn't have favorites. There's never any of that, well, that was your fault, Joseph, for telling the dream, you cocky kid. Never says that at all because that dreams were not about him anyway. And that's how you know this is somebody who's worth wearing a coat of glory. When you're cool with sharing your dreams with the people you were dreaming about, why would that person not be safe in glory? You can trust somebody like that with favor. But just because there's been a few folks that messed up with favor, that doesn't mean we don't throw trust on everybody. And there's going to be some folks crash and burn. We're flesh. And so what you do is you pick them back up. And you mentor something. Hey, you know, don't do that next time. And you go on. But we're not afraid of failure being final here. But what I am afraid of is failing him. Because at the end of the day, my giftings are being stewarded by me. And the owner and the giver is him. Same with the people in my church. I didn't baptize them with a gift. I didn't tell them what they were, and that's who they became. The God of glory gave gifts. And we've got to steward them, but they're not my sheep. And so at the end of the day, I've got to be more worried about displeasing heaven than I am pleasing people who refuse to grow. So you got to say stuff that we all know. Listen to me. Let me just say this in the right. And I'm getting sidetracked. And I'm not allowed to get sidetracked. So I'm on a little bit of a timer here, but the stuff we all know is that God helps you preach. Have you ever just thrown down with a, man, that was awesome preaching. To have the guy come back with a, well, it was God. It's like, well, duh. We know that. That doesn't mean that we don't honor. But it's dishonorable to be so prideful you can't receive something. And so you've got to downplay with, well, God did it. God anoints people and calls people, but God isn't preaching here. He'd already been driven out of town by now. It's not the Lord doing it. It's a person who God's called and anointed. It's a piece of the body of Christ. And if we don't recognize pieces of the body of Christ, we get sick and diseased and broke down and beat up. And Paul said, that's why we need to discern who each other are. If we don't discern the Lord's body, you're my miracle and I don't even recognize it. You're my miracle, and I don't even recognize it. What did Paul say about the explosive gifts of the Spirit? He said, if the interpreter's not there. So somebody is the interpreter. And if he ain't there, don't go using your gift. Because Paul said, somebody we know is the interpreter. Now that, to me, would be borderline cocky. I'm the interpreter around here. That's okay, brother. I got the word. But Paul said, if the interpreter's not there, without a hiccup, somebody is identified as being the interpreter. Can you imagine that? Taking ownership of that, I'm the interpreter. But what if we did know who each other were? So if I needed a word of wisdom, I would go to the right person. Because if it's good counsel, that doesn't mean it's a word of wisdom. Because a word of wisdom is a miracle. A word of knowledge is a miracle. You didn't get it in a book. Only heaven downloads it to that person. And so what if I did know who the healers were? What if I did know when I need the working of miracles, I go over there? Paul said, I'll bet you I know what would happen. There wouldn't be a bunch of sick, weak people. And Paul also said, you guys are selling yourself so short. He said, because some of you are saying, I'm of Apollos. And that's all you're going to get. I'm of Paul. That's all you're going to get. I'm of Cephas. That's all you'll get. I'm of Christ. That's all you get. And Paul said, we are all yours. 1 Corinthians 4. We are all yours. So are you saying you want only what Apollos will download? Or do you want what Paul will download? Apollos will download. Cephas will download. Pastor Mendenhall will download. Pastor Glover will download. Why do I want a piece of it when I can have it all? That's what I'm saying. Why would I want a piece of it if I could have everything? I want everything. And that means you might have to stand out for a while. But we need people who cannot let labels stop them. I'm a prisoner. I'm a slave. Doesn't ever stop him. A Hebrew doesn't stop him. Number one, you think that's a put down, you're wrong. That's a reminder. This Hebrew's like, oh yeah, I forgot who I was for a second. Thank you. Thank you. I'm somebody from the other side. I'm somebody from beyond, which is what the name actually means. You're right. Thank you for telling me that because I was starting to live natural. Prisoner, prison, ruler, governor of the prison, none of this stuff can name him, label him. Zaphnath Paaneah doesn't stop. Choose my wife, I'm going to convert her. Yeah, that's what Jewish history says. Give me a idol worshiping pastor's daughter. I'll just convert her. No big deal. Thank you. Save me some time and some dates. You can't stop somebody like this. Who whatever I am is not who I am. Because who I am is only successful. Who I am is only prosperous. And so wherever I go, that turns into prosperity. Even in the prison, it turns into prosperity. Why is that? Because there was a revival? No, I showed up. The only reason Joseph has to stay two more years in jail is because he says, hey, put in a good word for me because I was stolen. And you got to get a revelation. You were sent. If you're stolen, it's a mistake and I don't belong here. But if I'm sent as the Father has sent me, I send you. Then you know that when I'm in the world, when there's tribulation, I can be of good cheer. Because I already won. And I was made for darkness. I was made for this moment right here. And so Joseph, bottom line, what they tell Joseph, chapter 41 and verse number 38, is they tell him, actually they don't tell him, they talk about him. And Pharaoh says to his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. That's the exact same wording used for the second time. The first time was Genesis 1-2 when the Spirit of God moved over chaos. And then God said, that Hebrew wording group has not been used again until now. And can we find somebody who's got this going on inside of them? You know what that is inside of you? When that bird lives inside of you? That means that you were made for chaos. That means that there's no accident when the earth is without form and void. God's not in trouble. That's where God likes to start. That's no accident. He didn't get overpowered. The water wasn't too much for him. That's where he likes to start. Without form and void, nothing there. And the Spirit of God begins to move over the face of the waters or over Egypt inside of Joseph. And all of a sudden chaos starts to dissipate. And people start getting a plan for the worst moments because of the best moments of God. When you're somebody like Joseph, you can recognize when somebody's already in favor and doesn't know it. Joseph's already speaking to a man whose 7 years of favor have started. But he feels troubled in his spirit. Does that mean he's right to be troubled? And that it's wrong that God's favor's in the land already? Or does it mean you can't go by what you feel like? And does it mean that you could be the head honcho and you need somebody else for God's plan to come to fruition in your nation? And it doesn't mean that you're weaker if you've got to ask for help. Oh, what would I give for a Pharaoh to show up every once in a while in churches where nobody is allowed to do anything but the pastor? And Pharaoh's got an empty second chariot just waiting. I've been waiting on somebody to fill that spot. That's a revival church right there. I got it all ready for somebody. They just need to get in it and it's going to ride. An empty second chair. That's what's waiting on Joseph. But that only happens for people who can take a word of counsel from their butler. And allow for that word to lead to a prisoner coming out who's a Hebrew. And letting that prisoner speak to you. And you receive what he's saying. And you see God, not the prisoner. And you send him into that second chariot. And you watch the favor of God get loosed in your nation. There's a miracle that took place. An atmosphere changer showed up. And he tells his brothers in Genesis 45, he said, God's made me a father to Pharaoh. God didn't make me Pharaoh, but he made me a father to Pharaoh. So you're talking about one of Jacob's kids who's mentoring world leaders. just one of Jacob's kids. Like just one of you. Just me. But mentoring world leaders. Think about that. I'm a father to Pharaoh. That's a gift to Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh's going to be a gift to God's people. There's a movement of God's glory whereby the blessings of Abraham are coming to the nation. But the Lord said, your name's going to be great, and I'm going to bless you. And the literal Hebrew says, and the earth, it says in the King James Version, that in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It literally means the earth will bless themselves by you. In other words, that means it's here. And if you want it, you can have some of it. But you got to bless yourself by touching me. Come and get it. But you got to come and get it. That's what it is. They'll bless themselves by saying, pull that guy out of the dungeon. What are you talking about? You're saying he can interpret dreams. Get him up here right now. I'm getting ready to pour my soul out to a prisoner. He's blessing himself by the seed of God's people. You tell me that man isn't going to be the man. He's going to be a man, my friend. God's going to bless him back. God's going to bless him with all the land of Egypt. That's what Joseph gives him as a side gift in famine. Joseph says, I don't really have any problem at all taking advantage of Egyptian people. So you guys grew the corn, harvested the corn. I'll charge you for the corn. And then you're going to have to sell all your stuff for the corn. Then yourself and your land. And my people will eat for free forever. Never have to pay for anything. I don't know if that's prejudice or if that's super, super spiritual. But that's somebody who's not afraid to be a blessing to his own people. And he understands, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. God sent me here. And that's the moment that Joseph unveils who he is. Get everybody out of here. Go. And then he just unveils who he is. He still, like I said, has no clue who he really is according to God. The psalmist would get a revelation that he walked out that day when he took over Egypt. He walked out with God's breath in him added to his name. Just in case you're wondering what it means to be baptized into the name of Jesus. Pray in my name. Does that mean say in Jesus' name? Or does that mean that my name and his name? That's what it means, by the way. It doesn't mean in Jesus' name. It means I'm in his name, in it. Just like Jesus was in it. I'm in what made the name Jesus. It had to have the right power to back up the label. Because there were more than one Jesuses on the earth. There was only one of them that was deity enough to back it up. And that's what I stand in Jesus' name when I pray. It's like I'm walking out over Egypt and I've got his name and my name and I don't even know it. That's what it means when you're baptized in the name of Jesus. There's a literal becoming a bloodline. It's not fact. It's not a metaphor. It's literal. If you're praying in the blood of Jesus, well, you've got it. You got it. The deity of Jesus, you got it. He didn't have, the scripture literally tells us, he lays aside the stuff that makes him awesome. So that we would believe we could be awesome too. Because we're not Godhead. But we've got the Godhead in a body. As much as he had Father, Son, Holy Ghost, we do. Because he lay aside his deity. And he took on himself the form of man. And he could have done a bunch of stuff he didn't do. But everything he did except for dying for the sins of the world, he did to be repeated. That's why he said, I can't do it unless my daddy's showing it to me. Unless my father tells me, then I do it. If he says it, I respond. If I see it, I act it down here on earth. But everything I do, he initiates. Do you think the Word who created the world would have to wait on dad? Unless he was showing us, the church, who's going to need a revelation, because I'm not Jesus Christ, I'm Gray Glover. But the same voice is speaking to me. And the miraculous is as close as you responding to the voice of your Father. And knowing I got a right to do this. I've got a right to walk in this power. I do not have a right to image a pansy God. I do not have a right to make him almost powerful. But you could get it anywhere you go sit in a chair. What I'm offering. You could get it from a psychologist or a sociologist. Get it from a book. You can get it from some other lab, some other place. Some doctor, some medicine. But what we have to offer is this stuff right here. It's the stuff that is unexplainable. It's the stuff that we cannot make happen by ourselves. It's the stuff that changes worlds, changes empires, changes the minds of people. It's the stuff that delivers folks bound by PTSD. It's the stuff that raises people from the dead. That's what images Jesus Christ. And you've got to believe when I walk in that name. When I walk in that name, my friend, it's no different than the man Christ Jesus.
It isn't.
He said, as the Father sent me, so I said. There's so many where he says it, just as, so I. It's not some like a parable. It's literally God saying, the way this works in the kingdom is if you invest your talents that I give you, they turn into cities. Track that. I invested my talents to turn into 10 talents. Good job, son. Here's 10 cities. Now, that's a God that moves fast. You go from 10 talents to 10 cities? That's a God that moves fast. That's the God that doesn't exist in North America. The God who moves fast. The God who can literally say, all right, let's flip the coin. Heads Matthias, tails the other guy. Matthias, you're a new apostle. Come here. What did you have to do to get there? I wanted to stink and they pulled the name out of the hat, literally. You call that luck or you call that favor? But that's how God works. When he's filling apostolic positions that will have their name on the stinking foundations of the city. How'd you get here? I want a coin toss. That God doesn't exist. Where's the 40-day fast? Where did you die enough to get used? What if we just had faith enough? What if we just had faith enough that God died? That's enough. What if we just had faith enough that if God wants me to do something, I'll obey him. But I don't have to think for him. He does the thinking. Why 40? Why 40? It's never 41 or 39. Who's bragging about a 39-day fast? Now that, to me, would be really hard on my pride. Because you could never say I did 40, 39, and God stopped me, but I want you to know I could have done it. That just don't sound as powerful as saying I did a 40-day fast. I'll get in your line if you did 40. 39? I don't know. You just fell short, man. That's the magic number. What if the magic number was 2,000 years ago? What if it's the one who rose from the dead? Who's the literal life-giving spirit? Show me these 40-day fasts in the New Testament church. They are required to have a move of God. And I'll show you more people who murdered yesterday and they're preaching today and they believe God's a God of favor. They believe that God's a God of blessing and glory, and I'm never disqualified unless He says so. That's the kind of people that take over a world. I was hired for the massive job of making sure widows had food. And the apostle said, this requires somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, who people are saying good things about. Let me tell you right now, the widows would be dying in the Greek culture. You know that? Let's say that was our requirements, Brother Mendenhall. Like, this isn't enough for us to leave the Word of God and serve tables. So you go find out, get some men that are full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, good report. Because guaranteed we got them full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. But the good report stuff? No, we don't like to get people cocky. So, is there anybody that's got a good report out there? No, because we're too scared to honor people like the Bible says. Lest we believe they think that they're doing it. Because that's always a problem when you're on the deep end of the Spirit. When you know I am sunk without God. When you're on the shallow end, you might have a problem. Because you can do half of it and you can fake the rest of it. If we're going to change the world, we need people on the deep end. And you never have to worry about them getting cocky. You have to worry about them getting so discouraged and bound by darkness that they don't have any more faith. That's what you've got to worry about. You've got to worry that we don't have enough encouragement. You've got to worry that all of our warriors are floundering in the weight of the ministry that's on their shoulders and the darkness and the fighting and the attacks of the devil and all the voices of hell. And nobody's saying, your prayer changed my life. Nobody's saying, if it hadn't been for you, my daughter wouldn't have come in church. Why are we going to say that? We don't want them to get a big head. How is that going to glorify God when we refuse to acknowledge what He's doing through people? That doesn't glorify God when there's nobody giving a good report. That means that you can write a letter to a group of people and say, I cannot wait to get there and meet you, and I'm going to impart some spiritual thing to you that you might be established. And then Paul gets there and everybody goes, who are you? He's in Rome. Who are you? Well, nobody sent any letters or said anything about you. That's why we don't know who you are, Paul. All he does at the end of his books is commend people for anything. He's commending them. And he shows up to Rome and they say, and you? To finish your sentence, the greatest apostle to walk the earth. That's who I am. But apparently nobody cares what I've done in their life. So they don't commend me. And when that happens to people, they get confused about their identity. Because now you've got to have courage just to do something. Not because you're worried about hell. Hell's never a problem, ever. Hell's no problem at all. The devil himself could be in this building right now. It would be no problem. He's defeated by. But my brothers, that's a problem. That can be intimidating. And it's not that you're just floating out there, hey. It's little stuff. It's what God did through you, a gifting precious. So precious that you're saying, hey, I refuse. I refuse to go after anything little like sleeping with you and pretend like I'm Potiphar when I'm called to be Joseph. I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not. This is too valuable to me, and God is too valuable to me. And when people start looking at what God's doing in their life as being unbelievably valuable, it's an awesome moment when they just decide it's time for me to show you. What do you want us to tell Dad? Go tell him about all my glory. Follow that if you're Joseph's brothers. But you're not Joseph's brothers, you're patriarchs. And if you can't see yourself as somebody, that's why you need someone like Joseph saying, go tell Dad about all my glory. Go tell him that God's made me a father to Pharaoh, I'm ruler over his house, and I've got dominion over the land. Go tell them everything that you've seen here. And that's going to inspire my dad to come back here. To move over here. Because that's why I'm here. Is to draw the great nation to me. Because this isn't about a famine. It's about favor. There's 7 years of famine is soon to be over. What then? Can we live in favor? Can we live when the famine is over? And we need Joseph. That's what this is all about. That's what makes a kingdom right there. Can we all be blessed? I've got to be done. I know that's a joke to my girls when I say that, because I say it all the time just to make everybody else feel better about where I am preaching. But I've got to tell you, that I preach like this until I get a witness. I'm down with somebody interrupting the first thing I say. Phoebe Abbott interrupted me with tongues interpretation. I was done right there. But until I get a witness, I can't let a moment like this go by. I can't preach to you guys again and tell you how powerful you are. And you look back at me and go, you don't know us. And just say there's so much authority and glory in this group. And you're like, no, did you forget where you are? This is the peninsula. And so I'm coming back with, well, look at this, look at this, look at this. And I've got to use a million examples before there's a witness. And the witness I'm looking for is somebody to go, well, check me out. Sign me up. The world's never seen this before. I am Joseph. Can you imagine that moment? Here's why it's so important. Here's why it's so important, right? Let's say we got Joseph. Who's here for you. My dreams are about you, is what Joseph got a revelation of. I remember the dreams, I dreamed about them, so it's impossible for me to forget them. So God wasn't in the hole. God caused me to forget all my toil in all my father's house. That's just the power of positive thinking. That's why Manasseh's getting pushed backwards. And the double ash heap that's fruitful. Now that's the kingdom of God stuff. That's Ephraim. A double ash heap that's fruitful. Does that sound fruitful? I'm talking ruined. Ash. And that's fruitful. Yeah. Just so happens that's all God needs to begin. But he says the reason why I've got to unveil myself to you is because you have got to be made known to Pharaoh. Joseph's saying it's not enough for me to be revealed to Pharaoh. I need all my brothers and all that they are to be loosed on Pharaoh too. We know it doesn't happen. We know it doesn't happen because here comes a Pharaoh who doesn't know Joseph. Obviously, they never did get to know the other brothers either. But this is what this is right here. You guys are so blessed by this right here. We were bad in 95. And so the glory that's here and here is so abundant that it's not just Mitch Perkins who gets it or somebody else who gets it. But every single person who will not disqualify themselves today will get it. Mom, let's do that. How about we do that? Let's end like that. Dad, if you and Mom want to be over here, and Mike Mendenhall and Sister Mendenhall. The final spoken blessing over Joseph. Huh? No. You don't need oil unless the sick are calling for the elders of the church. You need oil then, but I don't need oil to heal you if I'm going after you. And for an impartation moment like what's getting ready to happen here. I'm talking about that coming into the presence of the King of the world and blessing him. And then him saying, how old are you? And you say, 137 years old. And then go, ooh, I just fooled again. That's Jacob, 47, verse 7, verse 10. Blesses Pharaoh. You think my boy's a father to you? I'm his father. That's what he's saying. You might have to carry me in here, but get ready for this. And so there's an impartation that will happen here. I'm so jacked up about this. Can you scoot over a little bit so we can get some room right here? And so the pastors are just going to one by one or couple by couple, lay hands on you. And don't put a timer on it. When Jacob spoke the final blessing, I'm done with this, Dad, the final blessing, 49:26 over Joseph, he said, my blessings have beaten the blessings of my fathers. And he said, and your blessings are going to go to the limit of the eternal mountains. That's their boundary. So the highest part of heaven's highest part. That's the limit of the blessing I'm putting on you, Joseph. The eternal mountains. Those aren't natural. The eternal mountains. That's as high as it gets. He spoke that. I feel like that. All right. When you start looking around these people. Start looking around these people. Don't look at a name. Don't look at a person. This is an office. This is an office standing up here with unlimited impartation authority to equip the saints for the ministry. That's what they've got, unlimited ability to impart to you who you are. So you can literally say, I know you got a gift. I put it in you, Timothy. So I want the people from the churches, I want you to come And I want you to get into the line of the person who's not your pastor. That's when you look at hell and you go, that's what's up. And you just come on up. And as you see fit to pray, men in halls, and you see fit to pray, dad and mom, I want you to lay hands on. If you feel a prophecy, speak it. But believe something's coming out of you into them. Oh, something's coming out of them into you. Oh! Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Whoa. We're doing this, devil, because we are taking the peninsula for the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, such as I have give I you in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, somebody ought to start prophesying to the future. Somebody ought to start calling those things that are not as though they were right now. Here's who you are. Here's who you are. Oh, in the name of Jesus, receive, receive.